going through so many changes. What's the news for today? Somebody's hurt, somebody's aching, somebody's trying to find a way. A heavy heart
lately. I've been looking back
along these winding roads to the old familiar markers at the mercies I have known. And though it may sound simple, it's more than a cliche. No other words to tell you but to say,
God's been good. In my life, I've been blessed beyond my wildest dreams as I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, by my side He's always good through it all. God's been good.
Times replayed. I've cried some bitter tears, oh, but I felt His arms around me as I faced my darkest fears. I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than hurt, and His grace fell down upon me undeserved.
Oh, God's been good. My life, I've been blessed beyond my wildest dreams as I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, by my side He's always good. Through it all, God's been good. God has been my Father, my Savior and my friend. His love was my beginning, and His love will be my end. I could spend forever trying to tell you everything He is.
But the best way I can say it is this:
God's been in my life. I've been blessed beyond my wildest dreams as I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, by my side He's always good. Through it all, God's been good. God's been good. And though I've had my share of hard times, by my side He's always stood. Through it all, God's been good.
Yes. Oh, he's blessed me beyond all measure. to walk in here.
picks me up, wipes off my sin. He puts me on my feet again. Yes, He loves me as small as I am.
Man, if everybody in the world loved you, if everybody in the world loved you as much as they could, it would still, you still wouldn't be able to go to heaven. Amen. It takes the love of God and the grace of God for us to get there. I'm glad to be saved this morning. Amen. I was back there, Brother Jeff, looking at the flyer. Yeah, I don't know if you've noticed, I picked one up every night because my name's on there. And it just, it thrills my heart. I've been looking at all the men of God that are on there and how my heroes that are on there. And then I look down at the bottom. I see Brother Aaron Cosby from Morganton, North Carolina. I was sitting in my study about 1 o'clock this morning looking at that flyer. Boy, I got excited in my study, Brother Harold. All those men of God that get to preach out of this vessel this week. And my name was on there. And I got excited about it. And I began to thank the Lord for it. You know what the Holy Ghost said? He said, boy, when's the last time you got that excited that your name's not only down here, but your name's up there? Amen. And I came to report to you this morning. I don't know what page I'm on. I don't know how big my name's written up there. But I will submit to you this morning that up above the clouds outside, up above the stars in the Milky Way, up in that city, there is a book. And I don't know what page I'm on, brother. But I will promise you this. Right about now, if you went up there and you begin to look in the Lamb's Book of Life, hey, listen, before you got to the end of that book, you'd find Aaron Lee calls me in there. Amen. I'm glad my name's recorded up there. Amen. I've came to realize I'm only 21. And I've came to realize, Brother Ray, that's about all that matters in this world. Amen. Is if your name's recorded. Well, I feel like preaching this morning. Amen. Stand, if you're able this morning, grab your Bibles and find the book of Mark, chapter number 14. I had a message last night in my Bible that I was going to preach this morning out of Isaiah chapter number 10. And I got home last night and the Lord changed it. And I understand why now. I didn't understand it last night. Next Monday I'll be celebrating my 3 years since I've been preaching. I'll be a 3-year-old preacher. Amen. But I ain't been in it real long, but I've been in it long enough to know you don't argue with Him when He changes your mind. I got to stand before God for every word that's said out of this vessel. I don't understand it all the time, but I know He's always right, brother. Amen. Mark chapter 14, we'll read a few verses. Then I want to flip over to John 12 and draw my thought this morning. If you're there, say amen. The Bible says, Mark chapter 14 and verse 3. It says, "And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he said at me, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made?" Have you ever been around somebody that when you start worshiping God, they get real nervous and real skittish? You know when Brother Jeff was talking last night when it got foggy and Brother Jeff took a lap up through here and the pastor's wife got cut loose and Brother Scott took off turning a 360 and the power of God fell. You know, not everybody got hooked up with that last night. There were some people got nervous. Some people got scared about it. I'm glad that I know what that's about. Amen. Mary began to worship God and these people had indignation. In verse 5 it says, "For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor." And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever ye will do, may do good to them. But ye have me not always." Notice this is where I want to draw my text from this morning. Verse number 8. Look what Jesus said. He said, "She hath done what she could. She hath done what she could, and she has come beforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, whosoever or wheresoever the gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, This also also that she hath done shall be spoken of for her, a memorial of her. Let's pray. Father, I love you this morning. God, I thank you for this opportunity, Lord, that you've given us. And God, I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, this morning, that you would hide me behind the cross one more time. God, I understand and I admit before you, before heaven and before every man, woman, boy, and girl, that here this morning, Father, that I cannot do nor say anything in myself that would be of any help. But God, you said that your word would not return void. And God, I'm leaning on you. I'm trusting you, God. You know my heart, God, all is in vain. Unless you touch me, nothing will happen. Unless you anoint me. But God, I pray in Jesus' name one more time that you'd fill me up with the Holy Ghost. Give me discernment. Help me to say what I need to say. Nothing more, nothing less. And Father, you know my heart, God. I won't touch the glory, God. I'll give it all to you. I love you. And I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. You can be seated. Now, Jesus is, this is the time of the Passover, and Jesus passes through the place called Bethany. He's knew this is not the first time that he's ever been there. He was there in John chapter 11, and we know that he showed up 4 days late, and we know that he stood outside of the tomb of Lazarus, and he said, Lazarus, come forth, and Lazarus came hopping out, and we know that he went on his way, and now he's came back again to a place called Bethany. Now when he gets here, he goes into the house, and he begins to sit down. I'm glad today that, listen, the Lord every once in a while will choose to pass by and to pay us a visit. Amen. I'm glad that He's the God of the world. I'm glad He's the one that hung out the stars in the sky. I'm glad He's the one that spins it in orbit. But I'm glad He's a personal God. I'm glad that He's a loving God. And that when you need Him, He's available. Amen. To be there. And Jesus begins to go up to the table with Lazarus and Martha and Mary and Judas there. There were different people here. And Jesus sits down and he begins to eat. He begins to be at meat with them and just to have a good meal with them. And then we find that Lazarus is here, and we find that Judas is here, and Martha. But then we find Mary of Bethany is here. Now, I don't know if you understand what Bethany is and what this woman means. But every single time that this woman is mentioned in your Bible, you know where she's at. She's at the feet of the Lord. Every single time you find Mary inside of the King James Bible, she's at the feet of Jesus, worshiping Him, giving Him glory. Hey, listen to me this morning. I don't know about you, but when I pass on, and a man of God stands behind the pulpit, and my dead body laying right there, I want the man of God to say, not that I was the best preacher, not that I was the best singer, not that I was the best anything, but that I was at the feet of God. Amen. As I sang last night, Brother Jeff, when we get to heaven, that's where I want to be, friend. Amen. Hey, I don't want to be anywhere else. Hey, there's going to come a day. How many's tired of this whole world? I'm tired of this whole world. I'm tired of sin. I'm tired of watching the devil wreck young people's lives. Hey, listen, and you know what? Tonight, we can worship God this morning, but I want you to understand, there's coming a day. I said there's coming a day. But when the clouds are going to open up, I came here to tell you, I'm not looking for a hole in the ground. I'm looking for a hole in the sky. He's going to come back, and for the first time, with a true heart and a true mind. Our flesh won't be there. Our mind won't be there. It'll be with a true heart. We'll get to look Him dead in the eyes, brother, and tell Him how much He means to us. Amen. I look forward to that day. But Mary comes in, never says a word, goes straight to His feet, and begins to worship God. And everybody got nervous. Everybody got mad. Everybody started murmuring. Yeah. But I like what the Lord said in verse number 8. Where I want to draw my text. Verse number 8. He said, she hath done what she could. I want to ask you this morning, are you doing all you can? Are you doing all you can? Well, listen, God has never said one time that you had to sing have the most beautiful voice. God never said that you have to know the whole Bible. God never said you've got to lead 1,000 people to Him. God never said you've got to be the best. But He does want us to give our best this morning. Amen. I used to run track, Brother Jeff. I used to run, and every Saturday morning I'd get up. My family, we'd go to a road race, a 5K or a 10K. And I'd get up there and I'd warm up. My mom and daddy, they would go sign me up for the race. They'd sign my name and he would give me a number. I'd pin that number on and my parents would pay for me to be in that race. They'd pay a price for it. They'd pay a fee for me to be in there. And we'd run that race. And right before I would race every single time from when I was in eighth grade till I graduated, my parents, before every race, they would say, "Son, we put money into this thing. And you don't got to come in first. You don't got to come in second. You can come in dead last. We don't care. But when you cross that finish line, you better be gasping for air. You better be giving it everything you got. You better be crawling. If you have to lay down and crawl, you better get there. Because I paid for you to be in this thing. I want you to understand. Listen, I know the way gets hard. I know the trials come. The winds blow. The waves come. But I want you to understand that 2,000 years ago, Jesus paid a price for you and me to be in the race. I know it gets hard. I know it gets long. But He never promised it'd be easy. He never promised it'd be keep throwing through the tulips. But I want to make it there, friend. Amen. As an 8-year-old boy, I got down in the altar at a Holy Ghost meeting. And I said, "God, I'm 8 years old. I can't barely tie my shoe. I'm pitiful. I ain't got nothing to offer you. But you paid a price for me. You can have all I got. Listen, I want you to understand. I've got weak. I've got feeble. I felt like throwing in the towel. But down inside of my soul, there's a fire that Jesus lit. And the flame, you hear me, honey? The flame may flicker. But the fire, I've never gone out, friend. Amen. You understand me? The only fire this preacher is going to feel is the one in my bones that God put in there. Hey, listen, I'm glad I don't have to go to hell. But you hear me? God paid a price for you to be in the race, friend. And Mary's here. People get nervous and start talking about her. Jesus said, "You better leave her alone. She's not the best, but she's given everything she's got. She's doing what she can. She's giving it all she's got." Oh, listen, I may never be the best preacher. I may never lead the most people to God. I may never be a pastor. I may preach in little rest homes my entire life. But one thing I determined a long time ago was that God did not ask of me to be the best, but He did ask for me to do all I can for Him. She's doing all she can. So in your church, in your life, in your family, in your ministries, are you doing all you can? Are you doing all you can? Oh, there's been times even in this past week, preacher, that I felt like giving up. I felt like throwing in the towel. I felt like giving up on God. Hey, and that's my flesh. But my spirit rises up and says, "Boy, I know it's hard. I know it's long. I know it's rough. But God has a purpose for you to do all you can. To do all you can." I want to do all I can for Him this morning, don't you? Flip over to John chapter 12. John's account of this very passage in Mark 14. I want to give you two or three things quickly and I'll be done. On, are you doing all you can? On worshiping God. You know, it'd be amazing if we all got in one mind and one accord what God would be able to do tonight. Amen. If we all came in church, I like what Brother Scott said the other night. He said, "If the Holy Ghost is indwelling inside of our heart, why does it take 30 minutes to get stirred up about it?" Amen. That helped me. Because I've met preachers, I've met people, and they come to church to get hooked up. I want to be hooked up when I get here. Amen. She done all she could about worshiping God. First of all, look at verse 3. The Bible says, "Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard very closely and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped His feet with her hair." I want to say first of all that this woman was there for one reason and one reason only. I want you to understand, if you came here to hear me preach, you're not here for the right reason. If you came here to hear Brother Richard, you're not here for the right reason. If you came here just because your mom and daddy made you come, you're not here for the right reason. I don't know about you, but I came here to worship this morning. Amen. One reason. She had that box. She went straight in and went straight to His feet. straight to his feet. She never talked to Judas. She never talked to Lazarus. She never talked to Martha. She never even talked to anybody. She went straight to his feet because she was there for one reason this morning.
Amen.
We ought to come to church for one reason, preacher. Boy, my youth group where I'm the youth pastor at, God knows my heart. I don't know if one of them comes to worship sometimes. I don't know if some of our churches, I don't know if one of them comes to worship. Boy, we cry one tear, we get one Holy Ghost bump, and we say, Lord, have mercy, what a servant. But if we all got hooked up, if we all went for one reason, if we all came in the door, we prayed and we got cleaned up before we came in, and we said, God, I want to have a service like I've never had before. I don't care if the preacher gets it. I don't care if the singer gets it. I don't care if my family gets it. I'm worshiping God. Amen. Went there for one reason. But she never spoke a word. She never said a word. Because worship ain't about on the outside. See, I can talk to Brother Jeff about the Lord all I want to. That ain't worshiping. I can talk to you about the Lord. Worship ain't between this. Worship is between this. Worship ain't got nothing to do with this. When I worship God, it's between my spirit and His spirit. And if you ain't in the spirit, you ain't worshiping. Amen. Does it worship Him? God's the Spirit. Those worship must worship Him in spirit and in truth. If you ain't doing it in the Spirit, probably ain't worship. But God help us if we've done all we can in a service. She went there for one reason. She got nailed and she never spoke a word. But God defended her because she was worshiping inside of her. Inside of her heart. It wasn't what was going on the outside. She wasn't shouting. She wasn't screaming. But inside of her heart, she was worshiping God. But letting Him know. God knew her heart. And those people couldn't see past her brain. They couldn't see her heart. But God knows your heart. God knows why you're here. God knows why you come to church. And God help us. We could get hooked up if we'll go in the right spirit. Amen. But she never spoke a word. I remember when I first started preaching, there was this woman at our church. Her name was Glenna. Glenna Ford, and she got ate up with cancer. Boy, she was a saint of God. All of her hair fell out. And she had to wear a wig, and boy, she was just a mess. She was pitiful. And I remember she got so bad and so sick that her cancer had eat her body up so much that she couldn't even talk barely. And I remember many a days, Brother Harold, I'd go in that hospital in Bowdies, and I'd go up to her bedside. And I'd shake her hand. And for about 30, 45 minutes. Oh, she never spoke a word. I never spoke a word. But looking inside of her eyes, you could tell on the inside of her heart, there was something stirring. There was something going on. I want you to understand, it ain't about how loud you get. It ain't about how filled up you get. It's about getting hooked up with His Spirit. Amen. And I thank God for the shout. I do, but we ain't got to have the shout to worship.
Right.
On the day of Pentecost, the shout came. All those people were saved and there was glory there.
Right.
But on the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter started shouting, didn't he? He said, oh Lord, it's good for us to be here. And God said, shh.
That's right.
He said, that's my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. He said, hear ye Him.
Right.
There was glory there. He said, you ain't got to have the shout, Peter. He said, just sit there and listen to what Jesus has to say.
Thank you, Lord.
I want you to know something, preachers. Hallelujah. In a service like this, about one or two people, God will give them the key. He'll say, here you go. Either you do it or you don't. Hey, listen, it's up to you and me to listen to what the Spirit says. Amen. And I thank God for the shout. But God knows which gear we need to be in. Amen. God knows which gear we need to be in a service. God knows which gear the preacher needs to be in. Hey, you know what? It don't matter about me or you. It's about worshiping Him and doing it for one reason. Amen. She began to cry. Worshiping God, never spoke a word. She began to cry, brother. And it wasn't one tear. It wasn't two tears. The Bible says she cried until she could wash His feet with her tears. Can you imagine how many tears it would take to wash somebody's feet? Can you imagine how many tears you would have to cry in order to put it in a basin and to wash the feet of the Lord. I want you to understand, even in the past week, hey, Sunday night, I've cried and begged God to help me do better. Tuesday night, Monday night, Wednesday night, every single night this week, I've been begging God, God, help me to leave different. God, I want something. I want you to understand, listen, there's nothing wrong with you crying. There's nothing wrong with you shedding a tear, because as the brother said, God's been good. Amen. She began to wash his feet with her tears. And she took her hair, began to dry his feet. You know what she's doing? She was glorifying the Lord. You know, 1 Corinthians 10, if a woman have long hair, but to her it is her glory. Her long hair was her glory. That was her glory. But she took her glory and began to give it to the Lord. I want you to understand something this morning. I didn't come to please you. I didn't come to glorify you. I came to take what little bit I got and to glorify Jesus. Amen. Except for one reason. Preacher, I ain't got much. It don't matter. You got what God wants you to have. And it's not up to us how much we have. It's just up to us to give it to Him. Amen. She went there for one reason. But then secondly, I'd like to say, she didn't let anything keep her from worshiping God. Oh, Judas over here, when she began to worship and cry, he said, we could have took that. We could have gave it to the poor. That's selfish. That's self-centered. That's a waste. Oh, but what is a waste of Judas was the glory of God to somebody else. Amen. She said, I know it's going to cost me a lot. Can you imagine her walking on that way to Bethany, on the way to his house, saying, man, this is a year's wages. Spikenard was a year's wages. It's a lot. Hey, listen, I may never have this much again, but what I got, I want to give it to Him. I want you to understand, hey, listen, what little bit I got, it ain't up to me. It ain't up to you. What little bit I got, I want to give it to Him. That little old lad with five little hush puppies and two little fishes, he didn't have much, but he gave it to God. Amen. Brother Aaron, I don't have a whole lot. And don't matter what you got, He deserves it. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to say this. It don't, worshiping God's going to cost you some things sometimes. Yeah. Listen, being able to preach in the Holy Ghost, it cost me a lot. Oh, it cost me a lot. I didn't want to do it, preacher. I ran from it for a long time. I didn't want to do it. I ran and I ran and I ran. Hey, but listen, I want you to understand the money I had to give up, the friends I had to give up, the life I had to give up, none of it matters. Because when I'm in the will of God and I get the glory and I get the touch, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it to serve God. Amen. Preacher, I don't know if I can sell out. Let me tell you something. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. Some of you dear men of God, my heroes. Hey, I pray for you all. I laid in bed last night and begged God for every one of you. I pray for you all. I love you all. Oh, but listen, I want you to understand, I don't represent you all. I represent them. I represent the youngins. I represent the next generation. I want you to understand, I still believe in the Word of God. He said that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, the same God that moved back yonder is the same God that can move in my generation. Amen. All across this place, young people, there's mantles. There's mantles laying everywhere. Mantles that your dead mama, that your dead grandpas and grandmas and ancestors have left down by the years. There's mantles of God. There's powers of God laying everywhere. Getting trampled on. Getting walked on. Getting poured over. I want you to understand, it's up to you and I to say, I want to get what they had. I want the power of God. I don't care what it costs. I don't care what it takes. I'm getting out of my comfort zone. I'm going to get it. Amen. Don't let anything ever keep you from worshiping God. Poor Jacob stole Esau's blessing, didn't he? Have you ever got your blessing stole because you wouldn't be obedient to God? I remember I hadn't been saved 2 weeks, and I'm almost done. Hadn't been saved 2 weeks, 8 years old, sitting in Friendly Free Will Baptist Church. Brother Dan, right before we got ready to preach, opened up that Bible. Boy, I love Brother Dan. God, don't let me get caught up here. I won't never get done. Hey, oh, that man of God, a debt of gratitude I'll never be able to repay. That man of God taught me how to love God. That man of God taught me how to read my Bible. That man of God taught me what God was about. I want you to understand Monday night, when God showed up and those women back there started shouting, boy, it reminded me of some things that I experienced when I was a little boy. I hadn't felt it in a long time. I hadn't shouted in a while. But when God spoke, I had to do it. Amen. God shouldn't have to smack us over the head to get us to shout. Amen. But she wouldn't let anything stand in the way. Judas is over there mocking her. Lazarus is probably thinking, what is she doing? But you know why she was worshiping? Because she knew who it was. When her brother that she loved had been dead for 4 days and he was in the tomb and God wasn't nowhere to be found. He was in the tomb and God said, Lazarus, come forth. Mary was there and Lazarus came hopping out in his grave clothes. Mary saw it and Mary's giving him glory because she knew he rescued her brother. Amen. He said, brother, I ain't got a reason to shout. I ain't got a reason to preach. Why do you preach loud? Why do you cry? Why do you worship like you do? Because I know who it was that saved me. Amen. Oh, bless his name. If it hadn't been for my mama, I'd be in hell. If it had been for Preacher Dan, I'd be in hell. If it had been for everybody else in the world, I'd be in hell. But that night, the Holy Ghost of God came to where I was and saved me. Amen. We've got to give him all we can and not let nothing stand in between us and that. I'm almost done. She took that box and she broke it. But what's it say at the end of verse number 3? It says, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. It began to smell right. It began to smell right. Oh, that God would let somebody break the box one time. Everybody in that house left smelling like spikenard. Judas was making fun of her. But when Judas walked out the door, he smelled the same way she did. Lazarus was dead 4 days. They even said, Lord, he stinketh by now. But he left the house smelling like worship and spikenard. Oh, that somebody would break the box. Oh, that somebody would break the box. Oh, that somebody would break the box and say, God, it's worth it. It's worth it. You mean this much. I don't have a lot, but you can have it. It's worth it. Washing his feet. Said, oh, you've been good to me. Oh, I'd be in hell. I'd be in a grave somewhere in an early death. But you've been good to me. Amen. As soon as she broke it, and it didn't matter whether they liked it or not. When they walked out of that house, they were smelling like spikenard. They were smelling like worship. Hey, if one of us will break the box, I believe our neighbor will get a hold of it. Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
To worship God.
Yes.
When's the last time you just got down?
Yeah.
Say, Lord, I don't have anything to ask you.
Yeah.
I don't have a to-do list. I just want you to know I love you.
Yes.
I just want you to know I love you, Lord. I want you to know the best thing ever happened to me.
Thank you, God.
My mama, if I take her to the mall, if I take her to the Bible bookstore, Walmart, it don't take very long. I can walk right beside that buggy and I can say, Mama, you're the most prettiest, beautifulest, most wonderful mama anybody could ever ask for. I love you, Mama. She'll say, son, take me to what you want. Take me to whatever aisle you want. But you know, when I get in my prayer study and I shut the door and my pastor don't have the words to help me and my mama don't have the words and my daddy don't understand what I'm going through and Brittany don't understand the words, I can get in there and I can shut that door, Brother Jeff. I can crawl up under my study and I can say, God, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. I'd be in hell if it was not for you. It don't take very long. I feel another set of arms wrap around me. It ain't my mama. It ain't my daddy. It ain't my preacher. It's the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. It'd be amazing. It'd be amazing. Some of us would break that box. Because the box don't matter. It's what's in the box. The box ain't what's important. It's what's inside the box. What's in your box that's keeping you from worshiping God this morning? What's the devil got in your heart that's keeping you from worshiping God the way you once did? Hey, you said, preacher, I used to cry. I used to shout. I used to run. I've walked the pews. I've been in the Holy Ghost. But it's been a long time. I'm cold and I'm dry. And I want to feel it again. I'm full of icicles in my heart. I'm telling you that the Holy Ghost is here with a sickle and a hammer knocking away those icicles. I'm saying the wells of life can flow again in your heart if you'll let them. And I'm done. What would it take tonight when Brother Jacob, boy, he's one of my heroes, brother. Boy, I follow that boy around on the internet that he don't even know about. He's my hero. And I'm 21. I believe he's 23. Boy, it blesses my heart. There's been many times I've been back here in my study watching Brother Jacob preach on YouTube. And God break that box open in my study. Whoop! Amen! Glory to God! And my mom and daddy said, well, what's he doing in there?
Yeah.
It's all right. Nothing to get nervous about. God just broke the box. Amen. It'd be amazing. I said, Brother Aaron, I've gave a lot to the Lord. But have you given everything? He said, leave her alone. She's worshiping. And she's doing all she can. When I get to heaven, I don't expect God to tell me that I was the best. I don't expect God to tell me that my ministry was the best or that I was even good. But I long to hear, well done. You've done all you could, Aaron. Those young people I let you youth pastor, you prayed hell off of them. You made sure they didn't go to hell. Those people in your church, you made sure they didn't go to hell. You begged God. You fasted. You done all you can. And there's been times, even since I've been in the will of God, I've not done all I could. But I want to do all I can, preacher. I want to do every bit of it. Each and every one of us have a job. You may not preach. You may not sing. But God didn't just save you to sit on a pew.
That's right.
Each and every one of you have a job. And you don't come in the church to serve God. You come in the church to worship God. You do the serving whenever you leave out of here. And I'm done, Pastor. Get a song of invitation or whatever you'd like to do. As we stand this morning, done my very best to preach what God put in my heart. What's your name? Lord, you've been so good to me. Lord, I thank you for it. God, you've been the best thing ever happened to me. Lord, I'd be in hell this morning if it hadn't been for you.
All of his love. Yeah! talking to me, he goes, go to church. I said, yeah, I'm going to church. I said, well, do you like to go? I said, do you go to church? He said, well, I listen to Joel Osteen on television, he says. And I said, brother, I said, you need to learn about Jesus.
I just want to praise God for His power this morning. You know, when I'm low in spirit, I know where sickness is coming from. You know, I've had two of the worst kind of cancers in my life. I've dealt with a lot of bone problems and all kinds of stuff. And God's brought me through. And I'm still depending on Him, you know, according to the doctors. I'm not even supposed to be here. I'm not even supposed to be walking. Anything like that. But, you know, I could stand here and tell you one story right after another, but I can tell you this morning how great God is. And I'm still depending on Him. And He said He would never leave us. He'd never forsake us. He's our best friend, and He's our great physician. I say that all the time, but He's my best friend, and He's my physician, and I love Him with all my heart because the doctors has already said, you know, there's not much hope. But anyway, I love the Lord this morning. And just pray for me, and I'll pray for you to the best of my ability. Let's all just keep holding on to His unchanging hand. God never changes. That's the wonderful part about Him. He never changes. And when I think of how great He is, it just, I can't explain it. But a Christian knows how the blessings of the Lord fills your soul, and you long for heaven.
Amen.
You long for heaven.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Well, I'm going to song on our heart.
Yeah.